Hello and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our Newsworthy Clips article, and I have two panelists in the studio with me. First, welcome Carolyn.
Hello everyone, it's great to be here.
And Simon, welcome
to
the studio.
Thanks for having me.
What is our topic today, Simon?
Well, our topic today is emergency doctors find new life-saving use in old machine.
All right, well, that sparks interest, for me at least, because isn't it interesting, Carolyn, to think about something old finding a new purpose?
It is, and I feel like when it comes to medicine, a lot of times that does happen, where they'll invent something for one thing and then later on realize that actually it's much better suited to do this other thing.
Right, and, you know, our body is it's very complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are many things going on. But it makes sense that this is an instrument used in the medical world. Why wouldn't there be other purposes, right? It's possible.
That's right.
And so they have found out about this. And what is the name of the machine? We're jumping ahead a little bit here, but I want to preview that. What's the name of this machine, Simon?
Well, Brandon, it's called MARS, and that stands for the Molecular Adsorbent Recirculating System.
Wow, that is a mouthful. And we have it defined there. We'll talk more about it later. And if you have your magazines, go ahead and open them up to page 22, or you can follow along on your digital device. We have lots to talk about today, but right now we're going to have our first reading.
Emergency doctors find new life-saving use in old machine. Slammed in the gut by a wrecking ball, the construction worker arrived at the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center in dire condition years ago. Doctors removed his devastated liver, but he died before being matched with a new one, frustrating staff that longed for something to temporarily maintain the organ's function, like their machines for hearts, lungs, and kidneys. Now, they think they found one in a little used machine designed to detoxify people who overdose on medications. Doctors at Shock Trauma used it to save a gunshot victim, and then a football player and an amateur triathlete who suffered heat stroke. 27 patients facing death from liver failure were hooked to the machine from 2013 through 2016, and the majority lived. Atali, Maryland doctors now hope spurs a new look at the old technology. Our goal is to continue to increase our patient population and tell people about it, said Dr. Stephen I. Hanisch, a liver transplant surgeon at the University of Maryland Medical Center, who was the lead researcher on a paper about the cases published recently in the Annals of Surgery.
Well, this article starts off with a bit of action. It talks about how someone was slammed in the gut by a wrecking ball, which would be terrible, right? What is a wrecking ball, Simon?
Well, a wrecking ball is basically a giant metal ball on the end of a cable that companies use to destroy buildings, to wreck buildings.
Okay, and not people, right? If it hits a person, that's bad news. Okay.
Yes, and that's usually an accident. Like this sounds like a construction accident and a very, very dire one.
Right, it's very serious. We have that term there, dire. Of course, that just means serious or extreme. And so he had to go to the hospital. He went to the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center. And, you know, when you see that word trauma, it really sticks out because it means something is very serious. And you have a serious condition if you go to a trauma center, right?
Right. And trauma is oftentimes an injury, a very serious injury. So you can suffer a trauma. And a shock trauma would be even more severe.
Mm-hmm. So he went to get treatment there at the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center. And this was years ago. And what did doctors do, Simon?
Well, I guess because he had been slammed by this wrecking ball, his liver was in terrible condition. And they actually say here his liver was devastated, which really just means kind of destroyed, mm-hmm. terribly damaged. And so the doctors removed this damaged liver, probably because it was so damaged that it could never be repaired.
And he needed another liver, but he didn't make it because, you know, they were trying to find a match. And they weren't able to do so. And this was frustrating, wasn't it, for the staff?
Right, yeah. So the liver is a really interesting organ in the body. It can often repair itself. Mm-hmm. But his liver, this man's liver, was devastated to the point that there was no way to recover it, no way to repair it. And so he needed a new one.
And the staff, they were like, you know, we want to, you know, maintain the organ's function just temporarily. And they were frustrated by this. They longed for something that would help them keep a person alive long enough, you know, until they find a match.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had machines for hearts, for lungs and kidneys, but they didn't have something for the liver. And so this caused a lot of frustration for them. But now things, maybe they have changed. Simon, what do we learn in the next paragraph?
Well, basically, they've actually found a solution. And I think it's interesting that they use the word found here, because there are a lot of other words you sometimes use when you solve a problem. For example, you might say you've discovered a solution or created a solution. But here they've found it because this isn't a new machine. Instead, it's a little used machine, which means it's a machine that was created for something else, but just is not used very commonly.
So imagine it's sitting over in the corner somewhere, a hospital room, not really being used, and someone has the idea, hey, what if we use this? Maybe this will be helpful. Now, what was this machine? We've talked about it already, the Mars machine. What was it originally used for?
Well, we learned that it was used, or it was designed at least, to detoxify people who overdose on medications. And that is something that definitely needs to be treated, and very quickly. If someone ingests too much medication, it can be deadly. So being able to detoxify them and remove the overdose from their system is very important. But it seems like if you can use it to detoxify the body, then it should be helpful for the liver, since most of those things are processed by the liver.
Yeah, this word detoxify is good to know. In this case, they are removing the harmful chemicals from the body because, you know, someone has overdosed on medication, and so they want to remove that from the body. We often use this when we're talking about our own personal health or, you know, dieting. We actually will say detox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you fast in order to do that, or go on some special diet, right, to kind of remove things from your body that you don't want to be there, to kind of purify your body, right?
Yeah, and just to be clear for those of our listeners who are not maybe very medically or biologically minded, you know, the heart moves blood around your body, and the lungs help bring oxygen into your body, and the liver's big job is actually to detoxify your body. So it kind of filters your blood so that it's clean, it stays clean.
Okay.
And that's basically what this machine does. It's filtering blood mm-hmm. to keep it clean.
Okay, and so doctors at the shock trauma unit, what did they use it for? How did they find out that, hey, this might work?
Well, they used it to save a gunshot victim. So someone had been shot, and they hooked them up to this machine, and it saved the person.
All right.
And then they saved a football player. So football can also be a bit of a dangerous sport. You can suffer mm-hmm. some serious internal injuries. And they used this Mars machine to save a football player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the third person is actually very interesting for me, because the person sort of hadn't suffered a violent trauma or a violent injury. The third person was just an amateur triathlete. And that, of course, is an athlete who's running and swimming and bicycling, right? And so someone who's very physically active. And the way they had injured their liver was through heat stroke.
Mm-hmm. That's something that's really common. You get too hot and you have a heat stroke. You know, that happens a lot, especially I think with athletes. This was also an amateur triathlete. So in other words, he wasn't a professional, but someone who was an amateur. So, you know, we use that word a lot when we're talking about someone. Maybe they're learning something and they're an amateur. They haven't yet made it to the professional level. So they use it on different people, and it's worked. And then we learn more about how many patients they've used this on in our next paragraph, Caroline.
Yes, 27 patients facing death from liver failure were hooked up to the machine from 2013 through 2016. So this was over the course of 3 years, and just 27 people, because this type of treatment is one not very common at other hospitals, but also to have people who would qualify for this type of treatment, there also wouldn't be a very large number of them.
Okay, so they've used it on 27 patients, and the majority of them live, so not all of them have lived, but at least a significant number of them have, so it gives them this idea that, hey, maybe we should use this machine. As we will learn later, there hasn't really been a lot of scientific, research done yet on this, but it's based up on the experiential, evidence that there at Maryland at the hospital. So they hope this evidence will spur a new look at the old technology. First of all, we have that word tally there, Simon. Why do they use that word? This is a tally, Maryland doctors now hope spurs a new look. What does that mean?
Well, literally when you tally, you're counting something and kind of marking it down. So you have to think about someone who's watching something happening and then taking a pencil and making a little mark on a paper. That's to tally something, the verb. But a tally can also be a total count of something. Mm-hmm. So when you're done tallying something, you have the total number, and that's what they're talking about here. So this 27 patients, the majority of whom lived, that's the tally, the total. And Maryland doctors now hope that that positive result will encourage or spur a new look at this technology.
And to spur something on is to encourage it. So they hope this evidence causes others to look at this machine and implement it and use it at their hospitals to save more lives. And what is the goal, Caroline?
Well, it's kind of an interesting goal. We see that our goal is to continue to increase our patient population and tell people about it. Now, generally, I would think that increasing the patient population is a bad thing, because that means that people are sick, it means that people are injured, and they need treatment. But if they're the only hospital that offers this type of service, and they're the only ones working with this machine, this old technology, then increasing their patient population in this area would mean saving more lives.
That's right. That's the key, saving lives. This is according to a doctor there at the Maryland Medical Center.
And I think more than that, it's actually a research goal, because 27 patients isn't a very big sample size when you're doing research. And so if they increase the number of patients that have received this treatment, it gives them much stronger research to use when making claims about whether the technology works or not.
That's right. That's a bit about this machine, but we're going to get into more of the specifics concerning Mars and what they're doing with it in our next reading for today.
It's an off-label use of the Molecular Adsorbent Recirculating System Machine, or MARS, which has been around for decades. Doctors liken pumping a patient's blood through it to kidney dialysis. Only MARS treatment is far more temporary. Patients using it can't survive for only about 3 days, Hanisch said. Dr. Deborah Stein, Chief of Trauma and Director of Neurotrauma Critical Care at Shock Trauma, chooses the MARS patients and said the goal was saving lives and not conducting a proper medical trial. She acknowledged the data collected does not pass scientific muster. There is little quibble from Dr. Thomas Scalia, the center's physician-in-chief, about the need for evidence. In the meantime, Maryland doctors will continue to track patients and report their findings.
So we've been talking about this Mars machine. You get the full, you know, title there in the article, Molecular Adsorbent Recirculating System, but I think it's just easier to call it Mars.
Definitely easier to call it Mars.
So this was invented many years ago. It's been around for decades, but we see the way in which they're using it now, it's called an off-label use, Carolyn.
Right. So off-label means that it's not common, not mainstream, not what the label on the machine says its purpose is for. So if you use something off-label, it means that you're using it for something that it wasn't meant to be used for.
That's right. And in the medical world, you're using something to treat a condition for which it hasn't been approved to treat. And so, as Carolyn was saying, you think of a label, you know, it's labeled as this, but you're using it for something maybe slightly different or maybe much different. And so that's what they are doing with the Mars machine. It has been around for decades, but they have found a new use for it. And what is it like? They give us an example here that helps us, Simon, to understand how the machine works.
Yeah, and they actually, you used the word like, what is it like? And that's what they say here. They liken it to, or they compare it to, pumping a patient's blood through it to kidney dialysis. Only Mars treatment is far more temporary.
Okay. And dialysis, of course, is a medical treatment for those who are suffering from kidney failure. And they use this machine to purify the blood. So, you know, the blood is coming out of your body into the machine, it purifies it, and then it pumps it back into your body.
Right, which is something that, you know, kidneys are supposed to do, but if your kidneys aren't working, then you will need dialysis.
And you actually see that in Mars's name, so that's the recirculating system part of the name, where the blood is kind of coming out, and then it's being circulated back in.
The people who go to get dialysis, it can be an ongoing thing, but we see here that with Mars, it's far more temporary.
Right. I know someone back home who would get dialysis every week. Their kidney function was so poor that they would have dialysis once a week, which is very, very often. Most patients don't have to do that. But the Mars treatment, you can't do it over a long term.
Right. We see that patients using it can actually only survive for around 3 days, and so you can't use it forever.
Yeah, and this is actually kind of confusing language unless you have some background information on it, because when they use the word temporary, it might give you the impression, even though that would be wrong, that kidney dialysis is something that once you receive it, it lasts a long time. And that's not really true. People who are getting kidney dialysis have to keep going in to get dialysis, but they can get it over and over again over a long period of time. Whereas this Mars treatment, you can only stay alive because of Mars treatments for, they say, about 3 days.
Right. So, you know, it may keep you alive long enough until, you know, they find a solution to your problem or find a match, as we learned about that guy in the beginning who came in, the construction worker. They couldn't keep him long enough. Keep him alive long enough to find a match for his liver. Well, hopefully now they can do that with this machine. That's the idea. So next we hear from Dr. Deborah Stein, and she is the chief of trauma and director there at the Shock Trauma Center. And what does she do, Carolyn?
Well, she's the one who chooses the patients that will be using this kind of experimental treatment. And she said that the goal was saving lives and not conducting a proper medical trial, which I think is really interesting because this is a university hospital, which should place an emphasis on research, right?
Right.
Many university hospitals focus on research. But here, she really just wants to save people's lives, and the research is secondary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the issue is that they are working within a very narrow time frame, so they don't actually have very much time to do this. Mm-hmm. The machine only allows people to stay alive for 3 days, right? So they'll be pretty busy trying to find a match, like a liver that they can transplant into the person. And so it's hard to set up a good research trial when you don't know which patients will come in and when they will come in and things like that. So really what they're reporting on in this research is sort of something they've observed so that other people can maybe try to design research projects.
That's a good point, yeah. She's interested in saving lives, but others may come along and say, hey, I want to do research on this. So it gives them something to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she has this interesting confession here. They say she acknowledged or she admitted or said that the data they've collected does not pass scientific muster. And that's an interesting term.
It is. If something passes muster, it is acceptable and reaches an acceptable standard. And here they don't have enough research. They don't have data to actually say, okay, you know, there's enough research that has been conducted and we can produce a report on this. There's not really enough information.
And what do we mean when, like, data doesn't pass scientific muster? It doesn't mean the data is wrong. It just means you haven't controlled for all of the possibilities or eliminated the different possibilities. So, for example, in this case, all of this research is happening in what is really a very special hospital. Mm-hmm. So this isn't sort of a normal hospital. So the level of care that people are receiving is probably much higher than normal. The doctors are a teaching hospital, so they're probably very high quality doctors. Mm-hmm. And so they haven't been able to prove that the results are because of the machine and not because of some of these other special factors in the hospital.
Right. So the data is incomplete. And but this doctor in particular is not so concerned about that. She just wants to save lives. Next, we see there's little quibble from Dr. Thomas Scalia. That word quibble.
Quibble, that's a very interesting kind of word, and we don't see it very often, but it just means to kind of argue or disagree with someone. If you have a quibble, then it means you have a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And having little quibble with something basically means you don't disagree with it very much, or you don't really have any problem with it.
Okay, and so Dr. Thomas Scalia is all about this. He's the center's physician in chief, and he's not, worried about getting more evidence.
Right. They're really just focusing on saving lives, and as they do that, gathering the data.
Yeah, so they will continue to track patients and report their findings, but their goal is to save lives. They will get data as they go along, and hopefully that will help the medical world in general. And so we'll have to continue to watch this and see if this machine will actually continue to save people's lives. So, we've learned a lot about this machine that I wasn't familiar with. And that's kind of the beauty of Newsworthy Clips. We try to bring out some things that maybe you haven't heard of before. You can learn something new. And, hopefully we'll never have to use this technology. But if it's needed, maybe it could save more lives. So, we have other topics to talk about this month in our Newsworthy Clips article. Tomorrow we will be talking about a new museum that is opening up in Washington, D.C. And then on the third day, we're going back to a medical topic, talking about balding. So that could be of interest to many of you if you are losing hair or know someone who is. Please make sure they tune in on day 3. Well, let's do a little bit of a review. We have a little bit of time left today. You know, what are some words that you would like to remind our listeners of, Simon?
One of the ones that I found most interesting was actually the word that Carolyn talked about, something that is off-label or an off-label use. And that basically just meant you're using something for something that it wasn't designed to do. And so in this case, you would think of the label as being sort of the instruction sticker of how to use the thing. And so this is a use that is not on the label because the machine is not designed to be used that way.
Okay, good. Caroline?
I also really like that word. But I think maybe the word that I like the most or the term is to pass muster. But it's not because of what the word means. It's because of what the word sounds like. So sometimes native speakers will say this word wrong. And they will say pass mustard. Passing mustard is to pass a type of condiment that you might put on your hot dog or hamburger.
Right.
It's yellow mustard. Yes. It's very different. So pass muster is the correct way to say this term.
Very good point. You know, sometimes you hear things and it sounds like mustard. So you might just pick that up and say that. You don't see it in writing. So that's why it's good to have things in writing. You know, you see it there, you see how it is written out, how it is there in print, and that helps you, hopefully, in your conversation as well. Well, there are lots of other good words here to highlight. Maybe, you know, a word like quibble. We didn't have that mark, but it's a word that you may want to know. So, you know, use these words today. Use some of them. Choose a couple of them to use if you have not used them before. And look at our sentences that we have printed out for these words, and that can help you to know how to use them in your conversations or writing. Well, we thank you for joining us for day one of our Newsworthy Clips article, and we hope you'll join us again tomorrow and the next day as we continue talking about various news clips from around the world. And until next time, this is Brandon.
And Carolyn.
And Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.